Welcome to Happy Inside. It's Michelle, and your ticket to freedom is right here. Because you know all that stress and anxiety that you're experiencing, and all the thoughts and worries and overwhelm you have about your gut symptoms and health and food, not to mention the effect this has on your entire life, right? Well, we're talking about and breaking through all of that right here so you can have a life that's full and free.
I'm going to give you a secret straight up. Ready? Stillness and presence is hard for everybody. It's actually not easy to do. That's why it requires so much discipline to get there, right? So don't beat yourself up too fast if you're thinking, it's impossible for me to do. I can't meditate. I can barely sit still. I get overcome with emotions and my thoughts, and it's all too hard. And so I just keep busy. Well, you are with 99% of the population, pretty much. That is, you know, a really common experience nowadays. It might be common, but we need to ask ourselves, is it effective? Is this the best version of me? Is this what's meant for me as a human being? Or am I meant to be able to come into stillness and just sit and just be and just participate in the experience that I'm having? Well, we only need to look at a baby or a toddler participating in the activity that they're doing without conscious thought, without worry, without anticipation, but pure presence. That baby doesn't have worries. That toddler isn't concerned. They're just in the moment, and they're not even concerned with what they're going to get out of the moment. You know, as adults, we want all these outcomes all the time. We need to see some kind of evidence that it was worth it, you know. Instead of just participating and doing the activity, because guess what? It's enjoyable. Imagine that. Imagine if we were just doing an activity because it's enjoyable. You know, recently I purchased myself an electric bike, and I got an electric bike because I'm 47 and I'm not into sweating. I'm not into activities that push me that hard. So, you know, electric bike is perfect, right? Because I can still get to all the places that I want to go to with only as much effort as I want to put in. It's the best. If you've never ridden an electric bike, I encourage you to give one a go. I think you can usually hire them in lots of big cities. Wow, this thing is rocking my world. And I'll tell you why. I've got this massive smile on my face right now. But this smile isn't just about now. This smile is about my childhood. That's where it comes from. When I was a kid, my main mode of transport was a bicycle. If I wanted to go down to the shops on my own, I did that. If I wanted to go to a friend's house, I was riding. I was going to and from school on my bicycle, right, from when I was quite young. So riding a bike, it was a big feature of my childhood. And if I go back and remember, I just remember that I would ride. I didn't always know where I was going. It was part of the exploration. And sometimes I find myself thinking now, I grew up in Canberra, which is, you know, the capital of Australia. And it's a beautiful, it's a planned city. So it's really pretty and well laid out, and it has incredible bicycle paths. If I think about, you know, when I was a kid, wow, did I know my way around? It was quite incredible. And I knew my way around through all the shortcuts, through the little pathways that would take me through that suburb. And I ask myself, how? How did I figure that out? How did I know that? I'm just remembering now, you know, that off one of those shortcuts, I discovered that one of my friends from school lived in that vicinity. And, you know, so no one had a map then. You just had to figure out, right? Okay, well, you ride with your friend, I don't know, to her place on the way home from school. And then I need to get back onto my pathway. So I don't know. I guess I just try, or I just think I'm going in the right direction, or maybe I got it wrong and I had an adventure and had to figure it out. And that's how come I came via another pathway or another shortcut. But to me, that's where all the excitement is, right? So when I bought myself this bike, I bought it for the intention of having fun. You know how I said before, no sweating. Well, I didn't buy it so that I could exercise. That's not my priority. I mean, yeah, when I'm out on it, you know, make sure I don't have it on maximum pedal assist all the time. And I actually do work my own legs, and that feels quite nice. But exercise is actually secondary to my priority of just having fun, of feeling free. So when I go out on the bike, I don't even use the bike for transport. No, because that's then taking away from just having fun, right? So I don't need another objective with this bike. I don't need another goal to reach with this bike. All the things that I do as an adult all the time, right? Everything has to mean something and has to get me somewhere. No. I came to a point where I was like, that needs to stop even just momentarily. So I got my bike and out I go. You know, some mornings I love a morning ride. That's what I've discovered. Some mornings I just take a 20-minute ride, you know, and I go down the streets around here, and I live, you know, in a beautiful area near the water. And so I don't plan where I'm going to go. I just take a direction. And then I'll be riding along and I'll look to my right and think, oh, that looks like a nice street. Oh, I'll go down there. Or if I miss that street, I think to myself, doesn't matter. I'll just turn around, you know, and off I go that way. And I have a look around and I take my time just, you know, noticing the houses and the gardens, because that's one of my other loves. A big love of mine, you know, is houses. The two apps that I spend the very most of my time on are domain and realestate.com. Oh, I can't get enough. And then if we're talking mid-century houses, oh my goodness. I mean, you know, I'm in heaven, right? So it fulfills so many dreams and happy places in me, you know, to get on my bike, to not have something, some objective to achieve, but just to be free and just to ride and just to go wherever I want and just to enjoy the view as I'm doing that and to dream. Oh, it's divine. It was definitely well worth the purchase. I have to say that. It is my absolute deep belief system, and I'm going to back this, well, I just have with my own story, really, that each of us is responsible for creating our own lives and for creating ones that are aligned to us, that bring us joy and happiness and ease and all the things that whatever we want in our lives, right? We're entirely responsible for that, especially once we are adults. That's up to us. And I think if we're not doing that for ourselves, then what are we doing? We have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? And that brings me to this incredible book that I'm reading at the moment. And there's, you know, a couple of paragraphs in here that I'd like to share with you that really relate to this. So let me start with those paragraphs first. This is from a chapter called Slow Down, Think Deeply. We have to get better at thinking
deliberately and intentionally about the big questions, on the complicated things, on understanding what's really going on with a person or a situation or with life itself. We have to do the kind of thinking that 99% of the population is just not doing. And we have to stop doing the destructive thinking that they spend 99% of their time doing. The 18th century Zen master Hakuin was highly critical of teachers who believed that enlightenment was simply a matter of thinking nothing. Instead, he wanted his students to really think, really hard. This is why he assigned them perplexing koans like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And what does your face look like before you were born? And does the dog have the Buddha nature? These questions defy easy answers, and that's the point. By taking the time to meditate on them deeply, in some cases for days and weeks or even years, students put their mind in such a clarified state that deeper truths emerge and enlightenment commences. And even if they don't get all the way there, they are stronger for having tried. Suddenly, Hakuin promised his students, unexpectedly, your teeth sink in. Your body will pour with cold sweat. At that instant, it will become all clear. The word for this was Satori, an illuminating insight when the inscrutable is revealed, when an essential truth becomes obvious and inescapable. Couldn't we all use a bit more of that? Well, no one gets to Satori going a million miles a minute. No one gets there by focusing on what's obvious or by sticking with the first thought that pops into the head. To see what matters, you really have to look. To understand it, you really have to think. It takes real work to grasp what is invisible to just about everyone else. Now, this book is called Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday. And it is profound, I got to tell you. I mean, I'm only a quarter of the way in. But I really like what it has to say. And what grabbed me initially, and I'm turning pages now so you might hear that in the background, is how it was outlined, you know, the contents. So, you know, it is split into three sections, which is mind, spirit, and body. And in the mind, the chapters are this. I'll just start with the ones that I've read. The domain of the mind, become present, limit your inputs, empty the mind, slow down, think deeply. This is profound work. And, you know, his tagline for the book is an ancient strategy for modern life. You know, I love where it says, you know, no one gets to Satori going a million miles a minute. No one gets there by focusing on what's obvious. You know, we are moving through our lives at an incredible speed. And while we're moving through at that speed, we're doing more than we've ever done before, as in we are multitasking, we're taking on so many things. And it's not natural for our being to do that. And what tends to happen is, you know, we try and keep up with that speed. And when things fall apart, we can't keep up, when we start getting sick, you know, when we're depressed, when we're anxious, or even worse than that, then, you know, what we end up telling ourselves is that there's something wrong with me. You know, I can't keep up. There's something wrong with me. I'm not, you know, doing what everyone else is doing. But in actual fact, we should be telling ourselves that the world is moving too fast and that there's nothing wrong with me. It is actually not natural for my body and my mind to be moving at this rate. You know, the practices of meditation and yoga and those slowing down practices, you know, just continually on the rise, right?
And that's because we're moving so fast that we need, you know, an intentional practice in our life to help us slow back down. You know, recently I saw on my phone, so in the mail app for Apple, you know, this, I sent an email and from the app, and I saw this little feature that came up that said undo send, and it seemed to kind of hold it there for maybe, I don't know, 10 or 20 seconds. And it got me thinking, isn't that interesting that, you know, a technology company has built a feature into our technology to counteract when we do things mindlessly. And I thought, my God, we are in big trouble. If that's what it's coming to, that technology companies are building these features in so that we don't have to be responsible, so that we don't have to slow down and be present and mindful about the emails that we're sending. It doesn't matter. We can just willy-nilly shoot these things off left, right, and center because guess what? Apple's put a feature in that gives us some grace if we did the wrong thing. You know, if we sent it to the wrong person or whatever it might be, if it was unfinished. That's catastrophic because it's teaching the wrong idea. It's saying essentially, yes, you keep up the pace that you're doing and we'll help you adapt to that so you can continue to use our technology and you'll continue to regress in your capacity to be present, but that doesn't matter because you can rely on us. Because we'll build something into our technology so that you can continue to go down that path. And the question to ask yourself is that what I want? Do I really feel good about that? Do I feel grounded and solid and stable and at ease and content in myself when I'm willy-nilly flicking off these emails everywhere? And, you know, getting things wrong, making mistakes, you know, sending them when I shouldn't, etc. Do I really, really feel good about that? I've yet to meet somebody who goes, yeah, I love that. I hope we never lose it. It's the best. I love being a half a version of myself and, you know, clinging on by my fingertips and hoping that, you know, I'm getting it all right. No, no one is loving that. You know, when you think about when people take holidays, what are people looking for on holidays? Yes, some people are looking for adventure, some people are looking for excitement, some people are looking for new things to do. But no one is saying, you know what, I'm going to take a holiday so I can get my life moving even faster than it is now, because that's something I value so much. I want to be even more busy than I am now. No one is saying that. Everybody wants to slow down. And what I urge you to do is look for ways that you can slow down in your life, right here, where it counts, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. There's no point going a gazillion miles an hour for 6 months at a time and having to take a 1 or 2 week holiday only to collapse and feel completely anxious and anticipatory about having to go back in and do the next 6 months of your life like that again. Horrible. And this is why there's so much illness that's going on. We just can't cope. You know, and sometimes you might ask yourself, well, why am I listening to this? If this, you know, I've come here because I've got, you know, gut disorder, I've got these gut symptoms. This is why. This is why. I can't even add any more to that. To do so would actually diminish the very point that I'm making. This is why. But it doesn't have to be that way. You have agency and you have choice. You get to decide how you want to live your life. You get to decide what you want your life to look like, what you want it to feel like. At the end of the day, everything that you're doing is a choice. Even choosing not to do something is still a choice. So I reckon the better option is to make really intentional choices, to stay really aware. And to stay aware requires a slowing down, an ability to come in and be present, an ability to come into stillness so that you can listen to what's going on inside rather than all the noise that's around us constantly. It's much more pleasant on the inside, I guarantee you. It's quieter, it's still, it's calm, it's content. It's all the outside stuff that's hard to tolerate. But I can't convince you of that, right? I can only provide that information for you and encourage you to find ways in your own life that you can slow down.